So I want to make sure that everyone's all still on the level playing field here. So again, just talking about what UWP really is. It's a platform where all Windows 10 devices, no matter whether you're on a HoloLens, your IoT device, whether you're on a phone, desktop, or laptop, they're all running the same underlying platform. This means you can write your app once and then tailor it specifically to light up on each device. The distribution mechanism is going to be the same, so you can use the Windows Store. The connection to the cloud is all the same, and it offers the same great features, regardless of whatever you decide that you want to develop. So Giorgio on his keynote earlier on touched over the 2,700 plus improvements. So I'm going to talk to you about all of these. No, not all of these. I'm going to pick just a few of my favorites. You'll probably see me get very passionate and jumpy up and downy about some of these. Composition. So, you know, we talked about composition slightly earlier on. It's an accelerated GPU technology that we have. App extensions shows you how you can then allow your app to be extended by other publishers or vice versa. Handling web links, and I'll touch a bit more on this to show how you can use web URLs to actually have those URLs converted by Windows and directly engaged into your app so you get a better fill rate. And the final thing, I just want to talk to you about some of the new store features, because once you've built your beautiful, enriching, and engaging UWP, you need a way to share it with the world. So let's start off with composition. So what is composition? Well, let's start with the underlying sort of graphics factor here. So we know that the closer you are to the GPU, the faster things go. And normally to do that, we use technologies like DirectX. Do we have any DX C++ programmers? We have a few. That's impressive. We know that also this is very hard sometimes to do because there's a lot of things you have to set up. Then we have currently the framework layer. So this is XAML, for example. So I've already asked this question. I know we've got a lot of XAML developers in here. You all know that when you try and do graphic stuff, it's nice and easy to do, but you don't quite get that DirectX level performance. So what composition is, it's known as the visual layer. It's the intermediate layer between the two, so it's slightly closer to the metal, but you still get the simplification that you would if you were to develop it, similar to what you'd do in the framework layer. So let's talk a bit more about this. What does composition really mean? Well, it allows you to apply various effects and animations, which are really cool, because we all know that all the cool apps need blurring. It has 60 frames per second. That is their promise. So you can blur things at 60 frames a second. And the main thing here is it's GPU accelerated. So the great thing about this means you're not crunching away your CPU. So if you're doing other things like business logic, which is CPU intensive, your application is still going to remain responsive and look beautiful. So let's go to a demo. So I'm on machine number 4. Cool, power of the clicker. So Pete's already shown you this application. What he didn't really talk about was the beautiful blur. Did you notice that? That's all happening in real time. That's so cool, let me do that again. So watch what happens when it loads. You'll see it gradually starts fading and then it blurs. This is all done at real time on the GPU at the 60 frames per second. So what I want to do just quickly is explain how I did this. So let's go into the C#. So the first thing I need to do is get my compositor, because that is where all the number crunching and GPU acceleration gets done. So I use a helper called the element composition preview, and I ask it to get the compositor for this particular element, which in this case is the page. I then create a blur effect, because everyone loves blur stuff. I'm going to give it a name called blur, and a blur amount of 0. So what I'm saying is, don't blur just yet. Hold on. Then I'm going to just apply a few extra properties here for optimization and just making things look a bit more pretty. And the other thing I'm going to do is, I'm going to apply a source to it after the fact. So I'm not going to hard code my source in just yet. What's now going to happen is, on the compositor, I'm going to create an effect factory. What, in essence, this is going to do is it's going to create, at runtime, a pixel shader. But what I'm specifying in when I'm creating the pixel shader is, you know what, there are certain dynamic properties I want to change, so don't hard code those into the pixel shader. In this case, it's blur, which is the name of the effect, and the property, blur amount. And then from there, once I've got my pixel shader, I'm going to create a brush. Now, the great thing about composition is it does loads of cool easing stuff, and I've decided for my animation, I want it very linear. So I'm just going to create a linear easing function. And then from there, I'm going to start now doing the main bits of my animation over time to make sure that I blur over 6 seconds. So the first thing I do is I create a scalar animation. A scalar animation generally goes from 0 to 1, or a number. And then I'm going to start inserting keyframes into my animation. So what I'm going to do here is first I'm going to specify 1f. 1f specifies the point between 0 and 1. So at 100% completion, I want to have the blur amount set to 100 floats, right? Or 100 pixels. And I'm going to use the linear easing. I want that animation to last for about 6 seconds, because I don't want you guys to miss the amazingness of this blur. And then the next thing I do is, once I've done all that, I just start the animation and say, I want this blur animation set on the blur amount. The final thing I've done, now I've set up my blur animation, is I need to say, hey, so what is this thing I want to apply blur to? So I'm going to set the source parameter and create a background brush. This background brush is more like a sprite, so think of it as like a pane of glass. So I'm going to now, at this point, apply my blur to that. And I'm going to insert that sprite visual. Once I've set the size, I'm going to now set that back into the XAML element object. So at this point, what I've done is, to recap, I've pulled the object from XAML into composition. I've added all my effects. Once I'm happy with that, I then put it back into the framework. And that's what happens here. So once again, you see beautiful blur. Now, I know some of you guys are thinking, well, Shen, I actually write a lot of line of business apps. My manager doesn't care for blur. You know, like, what's the point of this? Like, why am I showing you all this blur stuff? This is just an example of what you can do with the power of composition. Now, I've got another demo which I think you guys might like more, because the cool thing about this demo, let me flick to it, is it's going to demonstrate in a line of business application style of how you can utilize composition to make your apps seamless and also engaging, because they're not going to slow down or anything like that. So here's actually built an application with some animation in. A few. How many have more than 2 animations? I think there's 1 or 2 people that are good. So I'm going to show you a few things here. So as we know, applications have a lot of moving parts. So I've got one here that has a few moving parts. So you can see here, it's a very simple demo. It's just trying to demonstrate that what I can do is I can have 10 concurrent animations happening at the same time. Now, what's interesting here is that this is still running at your 60 frames a second. But we could, if we wanted to, maybe speed things up a bit, and I'll still get my 60 frames per second. But what's interesting here is none of you are like in awe. You're not like, this is amazing. So I'm going to build it up a bit. Does anyone want to shout a 3-digit number? If you don't, I'm going to make one up. Sorry? 999. 999, all right. See, someone, if I said 4 digits, they would have come up with some crazy number. All right, so I'm going to attempt to add 999 gears. I should have just done a live code demo. Okay, of to these cogs, as well as the 10 that's already there. So I'm going to add these gears. Ready? Let's see what happens. Wait for it, because, wait, round of applause, hold it. 4% CPU, 3% CPU, and I'm doing over 1,000 concurrent animations at the same time. Okay, now you're good. All right, but I'll go double it, yeah? Double or nothing, so should we go more? Yes, no? I heard someone say 4 digits, give over. So you can see here, it's got to the point now where if your users really want this many, you can see it's still running perfectly fine. But if your users really need this many, you probably want to ask them, what the hell are they doing? But you can see here, so I'm still at 4-5% CPU. So that's just an example of even in your line of business apps, you know, you don't have to worry about the whole UI thread locking up and things like that because composition can do some amazing things for you. So that's just a brief, one of my favorites. But if I don't start seeing more applications in the store from you guys that have blurring in or just gears and stuff moving, then I'll be back in Toronto. I know where you guys live. All right. So the next demo I want to talk about is app extensions. How many times have you used an app and gone, man, they're missing a feature? And the worst thing is you're a developer. As a developer, you yourself know that you could write this feature. You're like, it's so simple. Why did you not build it? Well, thanks to app extensions, this is now possible. So let's take a very simple scenario here. I have an application. We'll take Photo Booth Pro might be a great example that has images. And they have some filters in there. And there's some cool filters, but you know what? I want to add some more. And the great thing about app extensions is even if you're not the publisher of the application, you can still extend it, providing the host, so the person whose app it is, has given you permission to do so. So how does this work? Well, we have the host package. So this is the publisher that originally wrote the app. And in their package manifest, they make it a very simple declaration. They're going to say, in the category of app extension host, I'm going to allow extensions that want to use Photo EXT, so extensions in this case. Now, the extension, so this could be another publisher, or it could be the same publisher, also has to make a declaration in their package manifest saying, well, actually, I'm an extension for a particular type of app. So if there's a photo extension application here, then I want to provide some information about what my extension does and just load it in. Let the host decide what to do with me. So the code's going to look very simple. It's basically going to be a simple case of opening the catalog, finding the extension, and then once I know it's installed, so I wire up the event, I simply just load up that particular folder, and I can then do the magic. But let me quickly go back to a demo. For those of you who don't know, you can tell I like demos more than slides. So here we go. So you guys probably from this morning remember this app. Actually, let me close that off first. Let me show you what it would look like before. Install that. So as you can see, wow, I'm very orange. Okay, it's okay. I can deal with this. So you can see my face is there. It's a pretty boring application. It's just got a camera and no other filters, right? And it's not really what we want. So what I'm going to do here, using my Photo Booth Pro, I've actually developed an extension. And I'm now just going to hit Control F5. One thing to note, this application is still running. I have not shut it down. Let's see if I can do a side-by-side. Should we do a side-by-side? I'm now just going to launch this extension. And watch what happens on the left here. So I'm just going to load it up. And did you notice something? The second I launched this demo app, notice how I've got now all the extensions that have come in. That was cool, right? But what's more interesting is that now I've got this demo. Let me show you exactly what I did to get there. So we have our host application, which actually loads in things. I think I've got a mouse jumping around on me. And I'm going to go. Here. I'm going to view the code on this. So you can see here, on the actual extension here, what I've done is I've specified here that I want a UWP 3. So this is part of the new platform that's coming in the anniversary update. I want to add an extension with the app extension. I'm going to call the extension name, Photo Booth Pro, with the IDFX. I'm going to give it a few more attributes around the display name and the description of what this particular thing does. So at this point now, if you have a look at what's in here, actually, there's all the shaders that we saw on the left. So they're just binaries, nothing too crazy. Then if I look at this particular application, manifest, let me see if I can load that up with code. You can see here that this is the host, and the host is, again, also specifying that it's an extension host. What it wants to do is it'll accept anything with the name PhotoBooth Pro, and then those guys can load in. And then let me go to AppSamlCS, and let's have a quick look at how this is done. If I can make sure I've got it. So in essence, what we'll see here is we'll have the catalog, and then once the catalog is open, what we'll then end up doing is from there, we'll end up searching the actual content, and within that content, what we'll then do is enumerate through and see if we can find those binaries. Once those binaries are loaded, what we'll then do is into the application, we'll have a list view where we'll bind that item source and say, hey, you know what? In this item source, I want you to actually specify all the binaries that have been loaded from there. Let me jump back to my slides. But what happens if you guys are on the web? We have some web devs in here. We've got a few shakes. You guys are still very shy, even after we've fed you and everything. Yeah, oh, we've got a few web devs. That's hiding at the back. Cool. So how many of you send emails to your customers telling them about your great experience? And then you've also got that application, but you're never sure. Do they have my app installed or do they not? You're just not sure. So then you have that horrible in-between phase where you send them a link with the usual URL that then has that activation on your app, then you're not sure if it's installed, and if it's not installed, then it takes you to the store, then the user goes to the store, they're really annoyed because they click this thing which they really wanted but they can't get because it's in the store, so then download it from the store, they then launch it, then they have to click your link again because they need to see what it was you were linking to. As you can see, to get that in the 10 seconds of explaining this problem, I had to speak a million miles an hour. However, we have a new thing called web links in Windows, which allows your UWP to actually be smart about what happens here. You no longer have to go and put in those special activation protocols. What you're going to do is you're going to register your website, your basic HTTP URL. At that point, Windows will understand and say, hey, you know what? I've got an application that's registered with this URL, with this domain. It will then ask the user for if it's the first time, saying, you know what, you're trying to access contosocaf.com. Would you like us to launch the app, or do you want to actually go to the web browser in Edge? And this is great, because it then allows the user to then launch the app if they have it, and if not, there's not that horrible bouncing backwards and forwards between the store, and you give the user power as well as making sure that your users reach the page that they were meant to do without going through all the hoops. So. That is some cool dude with a mustache. Cool. So let's go to a quick demo. So this is ContosoCaf. Obviously, it wouldn't be a Microsoft demo if we didn't have at least one ContosoCaf or Contoso event. So we tried to get two in to make it doubly special. So what I have here is my ContosoCaf. Now, this is just a normal application. It doesn't do anything too crazy. But what you'll notice here is I have in here an actual extension. Again, it's UAP3, so remember this is the anniversary update. I have a Windows.API URI handler, and in that handler, what I'm saying is if the user ever wants to go out to contosocaf.azurewebsites.net, I want to register this application as something that can handle this website. So it just so happens that ContosoCaf just sent me a mail. It's T for two. I'm British, so T for two kind of works quite nicely. And what you'll notice here is when I hover over the image, it's a HTTP. It's not going out asking for a particular application on my machine. It's a normal HTTP website. So when the user clicks, you'll see they're given the option. They're going to say, well, you know what? This is a website. So Edge is a great option for you. But we've noticed you also have ContosoCaf installed on your machine. Would you like us to handle it through the application instead? So in this case, since I wrote the app, I'm going to want to launch the app. And there you go. So straight from a HTTP, I got directly into my app. It was a direct feed, which made life so much easier for not just the user, but also for the developer, because there's none of that bouncing around. Now, the interesting to note there is you can do that pretty much on all your apps and your websites, but it's important to note as well how easy and quick that was. It didn't require me to write a lot of code. As a matter of fact, all I did was just add that extension, and I'm done. My app is ready to go. And you can do that on any website. If you have multiple apps associated to the web URL, that's fine too. Because what will happen is the user will get notified and said, hey, you know what? You've got more than one app that can handle this. Who do you want to take control of this? So for the final topic I want to talk about is the Windows Store. So this is the great thing. So you've had a great experience here, like looking at all the UWP goodness, and you've decided, right, I'm going to go write an app tonight. I'm going to make things blur. I'm going to have those cogs. I'm going to do everything. I'm going to do live code demos with Xamarin. I'm going to show that, Shane, how it's done. And I'm going to deploy it to the store. So there's some great new features in the store that I think that are really useful to a load of you in the audience today. And that's whether you're a consumer app or a line of business. You know, you're catered across the board. So apart from the usual things that you expect from a store, you know, in-app purchases, analytics, submissions, we have a few new cool things. So the first one I want to bring out is A/B testing. Now, I know you guys are going to love A/B testing because when I asked earlier who writes unit tests, none of you put your hand up, which basically means you're all testing in production. Well, this is a safer way to do it. So what this will allow you to do is you can break up and target your application distribution to certain audiences, because sometimes you just don't know, you know, will users like app A or will they like app B? And what this allows you to do is to then do that segmentation based on market, gender or age, and work out exactly who's going to benefit from your app and what direction you should take and what should be on that magical backlog at the end of it. So that goes all through the submission process. Now, the other thing that's important is package flighting. Hands up if you've ever released an app and then realized there's a bug in it and you're trying to claw back as fast as possible that distribution, or even better, you try and fix it within the space of 24 hours and try and get it re-released again. Know what? A few of you, this is impressive. You guys don't normally have this problem, even though you don't test your code. Maybe you don't have telemetry in your apps. I don't know. So the cool thing about package flighting is exactly this. It allows you to phase your application out slowly to users or segments. So you could say, well, actually, I know I've got a happy bunch of users that never really complain too much, so they're going to be my first 10% of users that are going to get this app. If they're still not complaining, that's good news. Then I'll keep sending it out, and I'll phase it over time. So eventually, when I get to those users that complain a lot, at least I know if there's any bugs, I've already found them, and I've had a chance to fix them before it gets there. Now, this is my favorite. Who here is a Windows Insider? Oh, cool, that's a good number. Thank you for your help. This has been amazing. So, you all know that when you're an insider, one of the key things we look for is feedback. We want to make sure that we make the best Windows possible for you. So we have this feedback app, and it says, hey, how are we doing? Is there anything we can do better? And you'll type in your feedback, yes, I want this, 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 or this is fantastic, we love this. Now, there's a lot of infrastructure and setup that goes on behind that. We have servers that take that feedback. We have the app, you know, and then you have that whole data munging that goes on to make sure it's normalized. And then it comes to, you know, us as developers to work out what we should prioritize as. Well, we found it so helpful to build Windows that we decided the best thing to do is to also give it to you guys as app developers. So what you can now do in the store is you can link directly to the Windows feedback app with your application. So the user can now directly launch the feedback app and give feedback based on your app, whether it's Contoso Calf or Contoso Crazy Blurry 3D thing, and say, we love this, this is great, or we'd love this to change. And what's then going to happen is, once they've submitted that feedback, we will publish that directly to your dev center so you can see the feedback that people will give you. This means that you're getting a whole load of infrastructure for free around feedback and telemetry. So you don't have to waste time understanding what you should do next. It's already given there for you. So they're just some of my favorites that I've talked about. Now, there are loads of others. I encourage you guys to go and have a look. But these would be my top four. So I hope you really found that useful. And like I said, I'm hoping to see more apps in the store, blurring or not, it's great. And thank you very much for your help, and we'll see you guys after the break. Thank you.